don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat masses, eating and drink themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back, and I was trying to pull something out of my hat to enlighten everybody that's listening right now. And I'm going to do that real quick here. But this is Revolution Radio, Freedom Slips, you're listening to, ladies and gentlemen. This is After Hours with Jer Bear, hosting the night away. And Comet's with me still, but he's in and out, and I'm blessing here. I'd like to get Sergeant Miller to come in here. I'll pull him in here, and I'm playing something. I'm playing something here. But I wanted to chill it out. Let me see here. If I can do this. So anyway, we're listener supported, and we asked for donations here. We're coming up to our 10-year anniversary called January 1st. I guess it's going to be a good party with all the staff and anybody that calls in when they do that gig come January 1st. Much love to we make it all there and and so forth. So I'm trying to find it's something here, and it's somebody getting in. I'm looking at something here. But anyway, here's something. This is
and a few more.
And a few more.
There's a light, certain kind of light, that never shines on me. I want my light to be there with you, there with you. There's a way, everybody say, to do each and every little thing. But what God does it bring? If I ain't got you, ain't got it. Hey, hey, shout what it's like. To love somebody, to love somebody, the way I love you. See your face again. No matter if the man, you have to be so blind, and I'm blind, so every. I'm a man. You see what I am? I live and I breathe for you. If I ain't got you, ain't got you. Hey, hey, you don't know what it's like.
us about the way I love you.
The vibes back up in here, and you don't love somebody like I love you guys. So, Revolution Radio, Freedom Slips, listener supported. Keep us on the air, please. You guys do well. Much love to people listening to the after hours tonight. That calmed me all down. I'm just chilling like a villain. And much love to you guys. So, on that note, we'll continue with this Joaquin Higginbotham talking about pedophilia, empire, Satan, and sodomy. Now, before I go into this, I pushed that we need these indictments. They messed with Trump so much, we could never get this. They're putting it on the back page, and we got to keep it on the front page. This pedophilia in D.C. is a big part of getting this country back when we break them down from all this crap. And and if they ever get Gilstein, what's her name, that is under witness watch program, and she's incarcerated, the Epstein's lady friend that assisted him, we ever get this going, it's important. They don't want us to. They're giving us all this all these attractions to keep us away from that with all this crap they keep pulling. And we got to focus on that. You know, we want this country back. We want the president running it. We want him to fulfill these indictments. And that's my voice saying it. And it's part of this Christ issue of a consciousness to see some light, because they've got tentacles all wrapped around us, but they can't totally wipe us out. We're strong. We just got to build that light up. That's Jared talking, and my feelings about this reality that I've jumped into back in 1956 when I came onto this so-called life I'm living now.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons they're so want to get Trump out of there is to bring all this pedophilia investigation to a halt.
Yeah, they're throwing it on the back page like they do everything. And we can't let that happen. I'm trying to keep it live. I've had a couple hosts, I think it was last night with Jacker and Mechanic, and I think Chris was on it too. I don't remember someone else. But we were jamming away. We took 2 hours and I produced for Hijacker and Let Him Go. And then after it was coming to the end, I brought this up about this light we need and et cetera. And Mechanic's kind of saying, you know, he doesn't kind of like agree with me, but I believe when I started talking about these indictments, and it's very important, we cannot let that just go away and forget about it. We have to we the people need that resolved, and that's a big issue. And that's why I try to say as much as I can after hours on this show and stress so widely. But I'm going to continue this this video. And thank you, Gall.
Hey there, Javier.
Sarge. I finally got in the chat.
Yeah.
You know Comet?
All right, I remember talking to him a few times. Yeah.
How you doing?
Down South Country Bar. Yeah, I'm doing good. I was just helping out. I had to help out a couple other drivers, with the mule truck.
Right.
So that's why I was kind of busy. But I was listening because you helped me take my mind off of, and I'm military-minded. So it's like I'm used to having headphones on and hearing people talking, communicating,
Right. Well, thanks for showing.
I'm a man of my word. I told you I was gonna come, and I and I made it my mission to join.
That's so beautiful of you, because I respect you a lot, and the faith and the light that you bring helps us shine it better here. You know, you help me show this light. But I don't know.
I feel at home. I feel at home on Rev Radio because I believe in what everyone stands for, and you know, I understand the times we're going through. You have to find that certain positive energy wherever you can find it and focus on it, you know?
Yes, sir.
Rev Radio is a great place to be, you know, a great place to participate in. And I love just hearing people from all over the world talking and solving problems. And, you know, because that deals with a lot of depression also, you know, talking with someone that cares.
Let me ask you a question. You're a truck driver, right?
Correct.
Are you going to be in that strike? Are they going to? Is that strike still on? Or are you involved in it? Or what is all that about now?
Well, I'm in a different world. I'm in Louisiana, so our economy and governor, you know, he has to understand. You got to keep people busy. You know what I'm saying?
Let me
ask this question then with Sarge, do you know anybody that got involved with the truck thing that went up to Washington, D.C.?
You're talking about the strike that just happened?
Yeah, the one that was Veterans Day, I think it was. I don't know. Call me, be more
specific. You're talking about when Trump gave acknowledgement to a lot of truckers.
I'm getting a coffee.
Yeah, he's getting coffee. Yeah, he's probably talking about that. You can go ahead and expound on that if you know something.
Well, I mean, truckers are the heartbeat of America. I mean, that's common sense, you know. And like my personal story, you know, with Trump. I was in Hurricane Katrina, and we was actually doing, you know, search and rescue and cleaning up, and I could specifically remember Trump sending a lot of supplies to a lot of us military folks down there, you know, his own 18-wheelers with the trailers with Trump on the side. So, you know, that kind of connects. You know, so I understand it, and I can tell you that from that's a sign of morality to me, someone with morals and principles.
Yeah, you don't see that very often out of Washington, D.C. It's a really rare occurrence, and I can't believe people are not seeing, you know, the difference in the way the administration is run now. You know, I can understand people having problem with Trump when he first got in there. I had a little problem with him, you know, but when I see what he's about, sometimes you have to overlook a person's personal faults and just look at the good that they're doing, because everybody has personal faults.
Yeah. Because, you know, I looked at it like wrestling. You know, I grew up on wrestling, you know, Hulk Hogan. You know, when I grew up, then I realized that it was an act to get, you know, entertainment across.
It was phony, but I go back.
It still provided
entertainment.
A getaway. You know, yeah.
Yeah, I follow you.
So
I remember there was Peter Mavia and Ray. Ray something. That was in the early 70s. And then as we progressed with Rocky and then Hulk Hogan getting in, not Hulk Hogan, but yeah, he was a wrestler too, wasn't he? I don't know, but I follow you. But you didn't realize, mm-hmm. You thought it was real when you were little. I thought it was all real, but then you learned. Over.
Yeah, but you know, economically and business wise, I think he did a damn good job. You know, especially when the deck was stacked against him. You know, with the media and, you know, just the perception of what he stands for.
And do you feel with all the crap that they pulled on him and he proved, you know, all the things they said about him and Russia colluding and all that, and it took away from him doing his job of trying to take care of the pedophiles, all this, and then he clears it, and now they pull this crap, you know what I'm saying, with the voting, when we should be moving on and not having all these hiccups that are going on, and let's focus on our president and legitimacy and the whole enchilada. But now we have to go through the court systems that Trump's got his lawyers doing, yada, yada, yada. They just keep putting other tentacles around the real issues to avoid the pedophilia.
Yeah, and that's and you can see the Democrats exposing them their hand. You know, they're ruthless. They're ruthless. They'll lie. They'll cheat. You know, I mean,
the puppets. They're the puppets of the deep state that are trying, that have been broke down. And this, like this guy was just saying about, I was playing it, and I'm going to continue it. So stick with me. But of this, what he's talking about, what's going on today, this interview I'm doing. If you guys were listening in, I don't know if you were or not, Sarge.
Yeah. And I have a few things to say, you know, about that pedophilia. I mean, you can walk in Walmart and look at the missing children. You can walk in the post office and see the wall of missing children. You know, it's probably one of the biggest problems America has next to abortion. I think it's swept under the rug.
You got a good point there.
Well, I'm gonna probably make y'all sick right here, but I used to not buy those milk cartons with the kids' faces on them because I don't know if the baby ain't in that milk carton. So because of the way things are, so you know, it's just weird. It's weird to me. I find a lot of this stuff weird. I have to withdraw a lot of times and just get out of it because it makes me ill to get around it. You know, to think about it to read about it. It just makes me ill.
It makes you feel uneasy, right?
Right. Yeah.
I got you.
It's just very disturbing. You know, it just tears me out.
So. I want to play this. Sarge, stick with us. And if you guys got something to say, just I'll stop it. If you guys got a thought, but it's about an hour long. We're only 6 minutes into it. So if you don't mind, you guys, I kind of...
No problem. I'm here.
Okay. All right, then. Here we go. And Lolly just put in 2,300 go missing every day in America, 2,300 children. And I don't believe... I mean, I don't... I believe that. You know, it's ridiculous. And it's not an issue like all the crap that they're pulling in the political world with us. And that's where it gets sad, and that's where we got to wake up, because it's too dark. But here we go.
In the deep state, pedophilia and empire. That's Joachim's new book. Now go to Amazon for that. I'm very sorry. I should have said that at the beginning of the program, Joachim. But that's his book, and this opens the curtain. Go on. Sorry, you were at Pizzagate.
Yeah. Right? Okay. So. Yeah, that pretty much opened the gate for, you know, basically all the internet sleuths to put the pieces of the puzzle together through the emails of John Podesta and the Democratic National Committee. And what came out of that was circumstantial evidence that if you piece it together, it looked pretty incriminating for Washington, that there is a rather large child trafficking sex ring in Washington. There has been for a long time. I mean, there's nothing new in this. Probably the biggest, in fact, that's the chapter I'm working on right now, in chapter 13. I'm just over halfway done with a book, but I do have chapters on the Amazon Kindle. And of course, it also can be read for free on my blog site. I may as well mention it now. EmpireExposed.blogspot.com. And it also can be read on URL.com, tinyurl.com, pedo, P-E-D-O, empire, pedo empire, one word. So it can be read for free, and then it's also available by chapters on Amazon Kindle. So that's what opened it up. And ever since then, the influx of the number of arrests of pedophiles going on in this world has been skyrocketing. I think some of it has to do with President Trump. I do. I think that he's gone on public record. He's had press conferences saying that he has to do his part to try and get rid of this blight of the sex trafficking and the pedophilia that's worldwide. And so I think he's made a commitment with law enforcement. I think Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, is working on this. And we're seeing the results in the number of arrests of pedophiles and the cases that.
You got to remember, this was done in December 4th, 2017. It's like 3 years old. So. But I want to see what it's going to go with because I was looking up pedophilia and empire, and he brought that up. So let's kind of follow this, please.
Just skyrocketed just in the last – basically since he's taken his office in January. I think back in August, I think it was 3,000 arrests in this country of the United States. And it's worldwide too. There's a Canadian bus going on. There was a huge one in Norway. They're all over. And so I think there is a concerted global effort now that's being exercised to round them up. We're still waiting on the big rotten ones at the very top that run this operation. We're still waiting on their arrests, but I believe it's coming. What we're seeing is a lot of the lower levels. I think there's like 11 mayors in the United States that have been recently charged just in the last few months. The number was 3,000 arrests, I think, back in August. So, and I think before that, the number of arrests each year was like 200, 300 something, 400 like that. So it's really been skyrocketing since Trump's been in office. And I'd like to think that he is committed to actually rounding these people up and taking them down. I mean, he was pretty much elected on the promise to drain the swamp. Well, there's nothing filthier than what these pedophiles are doing to children. That is probably the worst crime you can ever think of one human doing something horrible to another human. And these are our defenseless children. And they've been doing this for way too long. Well, we're coming after you, and we're going to get you. We're going to get every pedophile we can. And, you know, I mean, that's the way it is. The good guys are going to win in this fight. And we have to protect as many children. And we've done a pretty rotten job up until now. I mean, a lot of people just are totally unaware of the problem, the epidemic that we're facing on this earth right now. But I want to get into basically how it's done. I mean, it is a global operation. It involves governments. It involves the highest courts in every country. It involves law enforcement at the highest levels. It involves education. It involves the child welfare services, the child protective services. It involves the charities. It involves USAID, with the capital AID, USAID. It involves the military. It involves the CIA. Basically, the CIA are the pimps around the world. They are responsible to a great extent. Now, the people really behind the CIA are the bloodline families that are royalty, that are the government presidents and vice presidents and Congress and Parliament, the highest court judges, they're really behind it. And that's the public front that we know of. There's the Rothschild family that's behind this. There's the Rockefeller. They're all the big family bloodlines that have been pretty much ruling the earth for quite a few centuries are the guilty ones responsible for this operation. They are Lucifer worshiping pedophiles. And that's like 99% of them. As you go down the rung of power, they become compromised and blackmailed and controlled. The ones at the top are the pedophiles, and they're Satan worshipers. And as you go down, the public puppets, the presidents, Congress, all of those people, some of them are pedophiles, and some of them have been enticed. They go to parties, they drink, they're given drugs. They end up in the bed with a child, sometimes knowingly going to bed with a child, and sometimes even not. They think they're going to bed with some woman, and then they wake up in the morning, and it's a child, and the cameras were rolling. So there's a lot of drugs involved in this. It's a blackmail system that the elite have been controlling the politicians and the higher-profile power players on this earth through an enormous blackmail system. And while they've been doing this, they've been misusing our children in this horrible, violative way to entice and control through blackmail these politicians, the puppets. So their day is coming where they're basically going to get their consequence. They've been getting away with it, and they've been covering up scandal after scandal after scandal for many, many years. And I can go back. I'm doing the A through Z encyclopedia on pedophilia and all the scandals throughout history. But particularly in the last 30 years, this operation has just accelerated, and it's become an epidemic of missing children on this earth. Upwards of 8 million kids yearly are missing. In the United States alone, almost a million kids are missing. So this is a huge operation. Now, of course, that isn't to say that every single missing child is a pedophile victim. But it's hard to determine exactly what that percentage is. But if it's 8 million worldwide missing, there's a rather huge, considerable percentage of those children that have been abducted, they've been sold into the system. The pipeline, you know, from child welfare services that pushed them into that. Orphanages around the world are targets and have been. The U.S. State Department is totally guilty of being complicit or active players in this global operation. State Department, filthy. They're notorious. I did a chapter recently, and I basically covered a lot of the Asian U.S. embassies in Asia. And of course, in Asia, Pacific Asia, places like Malaysia, places like Thailand. Thailand's one of the worst ones as far as, you know, there's a sex tourism industry of pedophiles. They come from Europe and America, and they go to Thailand, and they basically prey on children there. Cambodia, horrible. Vietnam, Myanmar, Philippines. Not only do they actually, you know, abduct these children or, you know, have them as sex slaves in all of those countries, but of course it's a global operation, and they ship them, they traffic them around the world to America, Europe mostly. So yeah, it's an epidemic problem. They've gotten away with it for a long, long time. They've managed to cover it up for a long, long time. but those days are over. Take it away, Jason.
Oh, God, how dare I laugh on such a serious show, but, oh, God, you know, I've had a lot of people on this show, from David Icke to Noam Chomsky to whoever, you know. But you know something? I've got to look at how to say that name again. Joachim. Well, it could be worse. It could be Jason Spiridonleosatis. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad. Joachim, this is the first time on this show that I've ever felt very, very touched, right? Very, very touched. I'm just sat here and I'm very, very touched. Now, that tells me, you know, you said it's an epidemic. It's an endemic epidemic, people, right? Now, Yes. This information touches you deeply in your soul because, you know, we've all got an ethical barometer and an ethical alarm bell inside us. And that ethical alarm bell is compromised now due to our insane system, which has become normal, which I would like to talk to Joachim about a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Which is very disturbing. So when it touches you inside, you either run away or you act. And now when I hear about this kind of thing, it touches somewhere inside me that says, I've got to do something about this. You know, any guy can go to Bangkok and say to someone, I want young kids. And the next minute, I'll bet you're in a back room with a very young kid, right? And like you At last, thanks to people like yourself, Robert David Steele, Sasha Stone, Humanitar, the ITNJ, David Icke.
Frantically, and he is being
I want to stop right there when he says, see, this is a video that happened after Trump was in office almost 10, 11 months. In 2017 is this video, and he's bringing up Richard Steele back in that day about what's going on, people trying to bring this out and so forth. So I didn't want you to stop and get crazy, but see what I'm saying? It gets on the front page and then bada bing, bada boom, they've got all these other tentacles that come in and take us away and put it on the back page and then forget about it. Just like one example is Obama's birth certificate. They had it on the front page and bada bing, bada boom, it goes to the back page. And the biggest issue that came up to take that off was the tsunami that happened in Japan. That was at that time. It came up when they were trying to bring it back up, and it took it off, took Obama's birth certificate issue out of here. And that's what happens when they get these indictments of certain thing, and you see even the guy that's
Trey Gowdy.
Pardon?
Trey Gowdy.
Yeah, say it louder.
Trey Gowdy.
Yeah, Trey Gowdy. You see him starting to get into an issue that has evidence of whatever he's ahead of trying to resolve it, and it don't stick around. It just gets flushed around. Go ahead.
The heads of these media corporations are either involved themselves or they're very aware of it because they intentionally keep this stuff off the news. So, you know, they're getting reports and they're not reporting it. And I want to know why. Is it because they're involved in it or is it because they're hiding it? What is their involvement?
They're all Masons. They're all Satanists. They're all black. I mean, they're all part of the issue.
Well, I can tell you, you know, if I had the power, that's where I would go first. That's they got all the goods. They got all the information. You go to the heads of these media corporations, and you're going to find out what they got, and they're going to have the goods on these people. They may not have reported it. They probably buried it somewhere, but it's there.
What's so killing about it is, like, you could be on the board of directors of Google, you know, Google, and then you might be on the board of directors and a big time owner, stockholder in other corporations. So they're all in cahoots in that sense, and they're all basically, I think, the top of the notches. They're all Jesuits doing this, and then some of them will say, "Oh, I'm not a Jesuit. I'm a Mason," or they'll say, "I'm not a Mason. I'm something else," but they're all in cahoots. That's what we have to understand and realize. Over.
Yeah, the Jesuits are highly involved in this. Everywhere they show up, every country they show up, this stuff shows up too. So it just kind of follows them around for some reason.
You know, Georgetown University is very Jesuit, and you got to, and it was formed before DC was even a scratch on that area. And it was already, and it already had the things going on, what was going to happen. It's weird. I remember reading about the Jesuits in Georgetown and before DC and how it came to be it was part of the Illuminati, I guess you'd say, but I don't have it right now, but I recall reading about it, and it's pretty interesting. I want to continue this and see if it, like I said, it's 3 years old, but I still think it's and I'm going to look his name up, Joaquin Hagaplan, and see if there's anything current on him. But I think it's good to address what this pedophilia and how Epstein got away, whether he's alive or they really snuffed him. And then I can't see her name, Gladstein, you know, the one that's been his sidekick, is finally incarcerated, but it's hush hush right now. And see what I'm saying? It's like, you know, we want to know, we want to proceed with this. I do, as far as lightening up, that would be how we lighten up this world, is to go after that pedophilia. Is that, am I too wrong to say, or am I on the wrong?
The problem we have here is it is the tool that these intelligence agencies use to blackmail people with. They don't want to get rid of it.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, that is what we're fighting here.
And that's what they do with the politicians. You know, you'll see these freshman politicians going into the Senate or going into the House of Representatives, and they've got, I'm going to take care of my, this is, I'm representing so part of Northern Nevada or California or whatever they are. And they go in there and they want to do this for their area and enlighten. They got good, they're listening to the people. And I believe that, hey, you get in there with all these people that have been there for life. They should be terms that they only in there 8 years like the president. But what I was going to say is they get in there with their ideas, and then the ones that have been there, the elders of those committees, Senate and reps, say, no, it's our way or the highway. And if they don't want to go their way, then they're bribed or they're set up to lose people. And the senator, him and a few years ago with Ron Paul, tried to organize some of this political injustice. And they snuffed his brother and his sister a year apart to shut him up.
I remember that.
It's sad.
And Ron Paul is a good man.
Go ahead.
He gives free medical 6 months out of the year.
I just want to say all his area. All these gentlemen that try to step forward, just like Ron Paul, Dennis Kennison, the guy that was the governor of Michigan, I can't think of his name. The old, you know who I'm talking.
Yeah, the old wrestler, what's his name?
Yeah. Him. All these people, just like Alex Jones, they come forward. They all come forward, but they can't. They said, "Oh, you crossed this line." And that's probably what happened to Dennis Kennison. He crossed the line, and they showed him, "You better shut up." And they snuffed his brother, and a year later, his sister, and he was quiet ever since. It's sad. It's sad how that they've got the other bribe you, or you're in it, or they'll snuff you. That's how it is in the political theater of what's going on. And people need to understand that.
It's nothing new. You know, they got a saying, there's nothing new under the sun. you know, go back to medieval times, the Crusade times. This is how the king and the queen operated their kingdoms.
Yeah.
You know, by force, and, you know, even some of the ancient religions, you know, practice sacrificing children. You know, you have, what was his name, Abraham in the Bible, you know, where the angel told him to sacrifice his son. You know, those are like ancient cultures.
Refresh. I've never read a lot of the Bible. I did in high school when I would go out. We read a lot. I read Revelations a little bit, but I'm very green with the Bible. But I wanted to say, can you enlighten us with that story if you got it there, Sarge? Just to refresh us, well, something enlightening. I know, well, fun, but the reason and what happened after, Oliver.
I mean, I've studied the book. I've studied parallel books to it. It's really it's really about morality. You know, it's
the morality,
you know, commandments. Yeah, the Ten Commandments. You know, Jesus Christ. I say do as his actions, and not necessarily so much into the person, but his actions. You know, he showed love. He showed respect. He taught you how to love thy neighbor. You know, those are all morality and principles and values.
Yeah, you
go. Know, that's what I got out of it. So, well, the story with Abraham basically was just, he Abrahamic religions. You know,
did he sacrifice his son? He did, didn't he?
No, the angel, told him not to sacrifice his son, but I think it was a goat or a lamb instead. So that's where you get, you know, the parallel of Lamb of God, you know, Jesus died for our sins, you know.
I'm not picking, I'm just trying to figure what happened, because, you know, it's a trip to think about. I could go into saying, you know, the Western world, we all grew up basically with Christ and the sacrifice in the Roman era and the crucifixion and all that. But you look at other countries like India and the Buddhist way of religions, but it trips me out about India. They have the same reflection of a Virgin Mary and a baby Christ, but it's a different era and different names, and it trips me out. How come those are similar? And then you look back at, I started studying about the guys that were in the ancient times of I can't think of his. I'm going back to the pharaohs, Seuss, or they were fighting, and he cut him up, and Iris, and all that era. How they had to go put him.
Yeah, talking about Osiris. Osiris.
There you be. Osiris and his what do you call his enemy? Pardon?
Demigods?
No. It's Osiris had his demoness. What do you call it? The one that was, they always fought him and Osiris and.
I think it was Horus. Was it Osiris and Horus?
Yes, there.
I know his mother was Isis.
Yeah, that is a very interesting story. But and here we go with, if you look at the Washington Monument, and how it's a phallus, and related to, it's weird how much of Washington D.C. is set up with Osiris or that, because they have one in the Vatican. They've got these.
You're talking about the obelisk.
Yes, sir. I think, I don't know if they have one. In Paris, the city Paris, France, was named that under for the reason of something that happened back in that Pharaoh Egyptian epic time.
You know, go ahead. I have a whole lot of problems with the whole sacrifice deal. Number one, if you didn't sacrifice yourself, you haven't made a sacrifice at all. If you sacrifice something else, they made the sacrifice. You haven't sacrificed anything. So I have a whole problem with the sacrifice in general, but if you're going to sacrifice something and you didn't sacrifice yourself, you really haven't made a sacrifice. So that's my opinion.
Well, I studied. Go ahead. Go ahead, Sarge.
No, it sounds like a Baptist.
I don't know much about the Baptist.
Yeah, I was raised Baptist, but I haven't been in the church for over 30 years.
I had something to say, and I just slipped away. So, but it's, anybody want to call in? 702-605-4436. 702-605-4436. You're welcome to, we're taking calls. If anybody wants to join us and bring up anything that's anything, you're welcome to. I was looking at, I found something that's related to another, it's not very long. It's Eliminate the Darkness Inside report. The body keeps the, it says, Illuminate the Darkness Inside report. The body keeps the score, survivor stories. And it says, this is an Illuminati, the Darkness Inside report called The Body Keeps the Score. Survivor Stories, hosted by Jesse Woodrow, we reveal the shocking stories from three incredible women who have survived satanic ritual abuse, which involved rape, torture, incest, and body mutilations, and other unfathomable atrocities. This type of extreme abuse leaves behind a map of pain, trauma, and health issues almost impossible to navigate without divine intervention. But even when the mind has blocked traumatic experiences from one's memory, the body always keeps the score and leaves us clues that lead us closer thou wholeness. We cover heavy topics such as these because justice begins with exposing the truth, no matter how hard those truths are to imagine. As the spirit of the Antichrist is being released more and more over our world, pushing us further into the end time and ushering in the new world order, the Lord is pulling back the curtain and exposing the depth of the depravity and evil that is going on in our world, in our communities, and even right next door. Join me as we dare to look behind that curtain and bring darkness to light, exposing the devil's agenda to kill, steal, and destroy, and the power of God that is ever present to heal, redeem, and restore. So you know what? Most of my life, I was not very religious or holy roller stuff, but I always believed in just trying to follow the basic 10 commandments as in my lifestyle, you know, don't just carry on and have a good life. And whatever obstacles I got into that I had to suffer the consequences. And, you know, if I got a DUI or, you know, the way the laws are, for example, you know, if you didn't manage it, harder things would come on you. Just like, you know, that's one thing I never did. I never ever wanted to avoid any type of a warrant or anything like that, because it can lead to higher things. If you got in a little trouble, report it, yada, yada, yada. That's me, how I've been in my life. And I, you know, I understand the rich is rich and stuff, but I was just happy to carry on and get a house and just kind of do things opposite of the everyday American, like I go to college, I get a job, I get married, all that white fence stuff. I did it. I just didn't want to ever grow up in essence in my mindset. I had that Peter Pan image, and I still do, but You know, I've never tried to strive to be richer than just carrying on and enjoying life. You know, when I was offered opportunities, Jerry, you want to get into management? There's more money, yada yada yada. And then you build it. No, I was managing it just the way I was, in the way I handled myself. And you know, I didn't have to be a manager, but I got a lot of respect in the work I did in food service all my career. And that's simply it, but that's the way it is. But if you guys, I know I was jumping in on this guy here, that it's another 55 minutes. We can play this, but I'd like to put on this Illuminati, the Darkness Inside report, which I can play it right now on computer one. But if you guys are into that, we'll just get a little start on this. It's what time is it right now? It's almost top of the hour. And what is it, Saturday morning? I think we got another hour. Yeah. So we got till 7 o'clock my time, and we're coming up on 6. What a night it's been going. So you guys listen into this, and I'll stop it to see if you guys make sure. Well, you guys should, if I hear it, you guys should be able to hear it. Okay. This is called Illuminati, the Darkness Inside report. The body keeps the score, survivor story. So it might be a little gruesome, so we'll be okay.
Welcome to the Illuminate the Darkness Insider Report, The Body Keeps the Score, Survivor Stories. I'm your host, Jesse Woodrow, and tonight we will be revealing the shocking stories from three incredible women who have survived satanic ritual abuse, which involves rape, torture, incest, bodily mutilation, and other unfathomable atrocities. This type of extreme abuse leaves behind a map of pain and trauma and health issues almost impossible to navigate through without divine intervention. But even where the mind blocked traumatic experiences from one's memory, the body always keeps the score and leaves us clues that lead us closer to wholeness. We cover heavy topics such as these that illuminate the darkness because justice begins with exposing the truth, no matter how hard those truths are to imagine. As the spirit of the Antichrist is being released more and more over our world, pushing us further into the end time and ushering the new world order, the Lord is pulling back the curtain and exposing the depths of the depravity, of the evil that is going on in our world and in our communities and even right next door. Join me as we dare to look behind the curtain and bring darkness to light, exposing the devil's agenda to kill, to steal, and destroy, and the power of God that is ever present to heal and redeem and restore. Our first report comes from Lisa Meister, a survivor of satanic ritual abuse. The trauma from her abuse left scars and evidence behind on her body and in her soul, even before her mind could consciously recall the complete details of her repressed memories. Listen as she shares her experiences and the book that actually helped her heal called The Body Keeps the Score.
Small town in a remote area in Michigan in the United States, like the closest highway was an hour away. So we were very remote. And there's rumblings in the community about people with bonfires and robes kind of marching around it, but nothing concrete. So I was born into a family that did this. I knew nothing else. And it was, it would happen in the middle of the night. I'd be drugged, taken from my bed, taken to these, you know, their rituals. And then they'd clean you up, fix you up. You know, the doctor was there to make you look good and send you back home. And then you get up in the morning and go to school and whatever. And I completely had repressed the memories. I dissociated. You know, there's a lot of giftings, I believe, that God gives a child to get us through what we have to get through. So they try to turn you into an abuser over time. And they can force you to do horrible things. And they would do it by, if I would, like, no, like, for me, it's just terrifying. It's like, no, I don't want anything to do with that. It'd be like stabbing somebody or, you know, whatever. And I would pull back and freeze, and a big hand would come up from behind over my mouth and nose.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stick around. We got another hour here. Thank you.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
The little honey on the lone highway left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Just now, you're the best thing that ever
got somebody to lean on. Put your body next to mine and dream on. I've been bumped up and I've been fooled. I've been robbed and ridiculed in daycare centers and night schools. Have me with her.
Welcome back. It's Handle with Care tonight, and we're trying to share a little care and lighten up this world that's so dark. God bless it all. Welcome back, Comet and Sarge. I don't know what happened to Two Pillars. I tried to bring him back in here, but I got the chat room, and they seem to be interested in what I'm playing, so I'm going to go back to this Illuminati, this lady here. So here we go. You guys can hear it clearly, right, Sarge? I guess so.
Roger that. I hear you, Lima Charlie.
Okay, thank you, brother. 10-4, big brother. All right, here we go. This lady's explaining the issues that we stopped it for the break. Here we go.
You about passed out, and then they take it off, and then they give you the knife again. It's like, no, and they do it again until you finally comply, and you will comply. I mean, death isn't an option for you. So for me, it was never something that they hand me a knife. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. It's like, you know, I always just shrunk inside. And I mean, it was so bad that as an adult, even my sinus here where their hand would go had completely walled off. And the doctor's like, well, that only comes from either trauma or you've had previous surgeries. It's like, I've never had a surgery, but I can tell you where the hand was, and it was right where that sinus was. So that much pressure over the years, even, you know, your body, there's a book called The Body Keeps the Score. And, you know, your body handles the scars of what they do, and they can't be doing all these things without it affecting you.
Our next report shares the testimony of Cheryl Hershaw, who was born into an occult bloodline family that sold her into the Illuminati as an expendable child. She was used in human trafficking, ritualistically, physically, and sexually abused, as well as suffered MKUltra trauma and programming. Her heart-wrenching scars and continuing health issues make her a walking miracle. In the following audio clip, she shares what she's endured.
I'll stop it right there to tell you what she just texted. It's her name's Cheryl Hershaw. Hometown, Carlsbad, California, 1961. Type of abuse, sexual abuse, incest, SRA, MKUltra, child sex trafficking. Role in system, expendable. Age range of abuse from 0 to 15 years. Scars of abuse. So that's what she's just texting, and then she's going to tell you about it right now.
Wow. So at 4 years old, they decided that they would use me as a child sex slave in the child trafficking, and prepared me for that.
And what do you mean they prepared you for it?
Well, they did a ritual, and this is going to be graphic. They did a ritual where the high priest, who was also my pediatrician under Project Paperclip, he was brought over. So he was a Nazi. He was also a high priest of the circle. And during the ritual, they put a white cloth under me, laid me on an altar. And he was dressed like the Pope almost. And he had the long staff with the pointy end. And I was pierced vaginally. And of course, that made me bleed, and they collected the blood on this white cloth. You hear a lot in child trafficking about the handkerchiefs, right? So these are prized possessions as far as taking the virginity, sacrificing the virginity of a child. And so once they did that, then they had their usual orgy celebration, parading that white cloth with the blood around. And then I was taken to the side by the pediatrician, and actually he took a scalpel and opened up the back wall of my vagina to stretch it. So they systematically stretched me. One of the ways they did that was to sit me on a Baphomet statue that was life size. And that was kept in a barn at a remote ranch that there was a lot of rituals done there inside the barn. It was huge. It was actually a kiddie attraction on the weekends for children to come to, but they did rituals there. They did kiddie porn there, bestiality, so on and so forth, because it was very isolated. But I was literally sat on the penis of this Baphomet statue, strapped to it, and left there over the weekend by myself in the dark, no food, no water. So that was how they prepared me for child trafficking, to accommodate men.
Wow. And that was when you were 4 years old.
4 years old is the prime age to start child trafficking.
Right. And do you remember all of this vividly?
Now I do. Yes. And the damage is well documented. I had to have a hysterectomy when I was 33. And I had told my GYN about my life. She knew about it. And all the evidence was there. All the evidence is in my GI system. I had evidence of years and years of STD, pelvic inflammatory disease, throughout my whole pelvic cavity. My colon had been ripped from the pelvic walls in three different places with the sodomy and the brutality of, you know, what they did. And I have a whole extra loop of colon that they call floppy colon. When they shoot SMN kiddie porn, their way of doing, and again, this is graphic, of doing an enema to make it a clean shot, was to take a garden hose with a sprayer end nozzle and clean you out before they did the shoot. So that high of a pressure created that extra loop of colon.
Wow.
And that's, you know, well documented.
This is just really insane. And I want to tell everybody in the audience that we're doing this because we want everybody to know that this is still happening.
Yes.
Yes, it's still happening. Yes. For rituals, they create a doll altar. Is the first altar that I was subjected to. I had a doll named Thumbelina, and I was 2 years old. So for the first trauma, again, this is graphic, I was put on an altar with my arms tied out to the sides, and the pediatrician, that was the high priest, chopped off the end of my left thumb. So it related into my doll Thumbelina, the thumb. And through that trauma, they created the doll altar that would be present for rituals, who would not speak, who would not see, who would not hear, who would not basically remember what happened the night before in a ritual. And then they put the end of my thumb in a jar with formaldehyde to hold it in front of me and remind me from time to time that other digits would join that jar if I ever spoke. So, and it is typical for girls that they choose their favorite doll, and that's the first altar that they create. My pain level, it's always a base 4 out of 10 in my head because of all the brain injuries, you know, the traumatic brain injuries. I also have an implant that they put in when I was 5 years old by Jose Delgado, that when you're five, your skull bones are cartilage. They're not hardened yet. So they went in through my eye with this implant and stuck it on top of the right wing of the sphenoid bone in the sphenoid sinus. The sphenoid bone is shaped like a butterfly, so Project Monarch again, you know, and your brain sits on top of that bone. So what happened when they put that implant in was the cartilage then turned into bone and totally encased the implant. Now I have a pacemaker, okay, so I can't have any more MRIs. But back when I had MRIs, they could see this thing clearly. Yeah, the stemocever was, I mean, to the size and everything that it's pictured in Delgado's book and online.
Our third and final report comes from Jessie Zebatur, who shares her testimony of being trained as the Queen Mother of Darkness in the Luciferian system by a family member, which involved satanic ritual abuse and extreme physical and emotional trauma. She witnessed over 1,000 gruesome deaths per month because she refused to participate in this evil. She was miraculously led to the Lord at age 2 and then forced into training in the occult at age 3. She was rescued out of the hands of the Illuminati at age 10 and has been supernaturally protected by the Lord from every attack against her life ever since. She is now working hand in hand with Illuminate the Darkness to help other victims and survivors of the Luciferian system find hope and healing in the saving name of Jesus Christ. Let's listen as she shares a few of the health issues that she has left as a reminder of the horror of her childhood.
Stop it right there just to give you what she just – her name's Jessie Sezabartar. Hometown Chicago, Illinois. Type of abuse, SRA, extreme physical and emotional abuse. Age range of abuse, 3 to 10 years old. Role in system, Queen Mother of Darkness. And she has scars of abuse, androchrome issues related to potassium, sleep issues, etc. So that's just a – give you a little highlight what she texted here, and I'll continue now.
So my family, you know, being the mothers of darkness, one of my relatives was the queen, and that's whose position I was chosen and selected to succeed. And so my training began at age 4.5 for this position, and continued until age 10 when I was fully trained to take that position. And before all that training began, I want to go back just a little bit. Like I said, it began at age 4.5, but at age 2, the Lord intervened, knowing what was going to happen ahead of time. And we had another relative that was a Christian started bringing me and my mother to church with him. And it was at that church that, you know, I was the only little one in the nursery. And I had this nursery worker named Lily, and she would sit me on her lap, and she literally would open up the Bible and put it right on our laps, and she would read to me from the book of John, and she would sing hymns and little Bible songs and things like that. And, you know, she had no idea how vital that was to, you know, not only my survival, but the things that the Lord is now doing, because she gave me those tools as a little child. You know, with those things, you know, I've shared some of the stories on, some of the videos that I've done where, you know, literally I would be in a summoning circle and this demonic spirit would be coming through and, you know, ready to attack me or another child. And I would start singing the B-I-B-L-E song, and these demons would have to flee. They'd have to go back, you know, from where they came. And so, you know, that was how vital those things that she taught me were. You know, it was the only thing that got me through the severe darkness. And she taught me how to have a basic relationship with God. Like, I knew if I prayed that he was there with me. I knew when I talked to him, you know, that he was listening. And, you know, I didn't get, a lot of people in the system are programmed. You know, I just went through the program. I had to learn it so that I could run it. But I was not actually programmed. So a lot of the individuals who are programmed, they're allowed different types of coping mechanisms or things they can do to self-medicate through the trauma that they're going through. But I was not afforded any of those things. Like, I literally had to go through it and endure it with the Lord, and I had to learn to cope with it. With these depths of evil that, you know, really are just unexplainable.
The adrenal, when you have the high amounts, you know, they, a lot of times they'll call it like the zombie disease, but it puts you in a state where you have so much bloodlust, like your thoughts, you have no control over your thoughts. You get masqueraded with the worst evil thoughts you can imagine, okay? So all these evil thoughts are going through your mind. At the same time, you're sitting there telling yourself, I don't want to do that. But it's like you can't turn your impulse off. Your body just acts. And so it's like, they purposely would put, you know, they put us into a room that had other children in it and had both me and my training partner. You know, they held us down first, gave us the shot, and, you know, had four people holding us down. And then what it does is it drops your potassium. So your heart starts to race, and my body, you know, because your body's consuming so much potassium, so it just automatically drops it. And then you go into the psychosis, and it just makes you want to kill. And literally, people shred whoever is around them, they'll shred them to pieces, rip them apart with their hands, with their teeth, whatever they can. So they would stick us in this room with other kids, and you know, thankfully, I mean, it's really not a good thing, but, you know, my training partner was set that he would not let me kill. So the first thing he would do when we were on that, he would fight me, and he would, you know, knock me down enough where he was then able to take out the other children that were in the room. And then it was just me and him the entire time fighting. And then they would, it would take probably, you know, 3 to 5 people to subdue each of us. And they would put us into straight jackets. And, you know, we were still like zombified at that time. Like, we're, you know, just trying to rip flesh wherever we can off these people who are subduing us. They would take us upstairs to the schoolhouse that's next to the church. There was a room up there where they had these big white cupboards, and they would stick us in that cupboard and lock us in there in these straight jackets, and then we'd be going at each other inside this cupboard until the adrenal started to wear off. And then once it started wearing off, we were both puking our guts out and sick as a dog. And then they would pull us out of there, and they would put us in another situation. You know, they'd take us out of the straitjackets, throw us in a dark room with some defector or some person who, you know, it was a situation where either we lived or they lived. And so we had to learn to fight, even coming down off of the adrenal. And, you know, it really was horrible experience. But that was how they, that was one of the ways they tested to see how much we could take on it before we hit that psychosis moment. And then they knew how much to give us, you know, to heighten our gifts for the experiments that they were doing.
How many people died out of this? I mean, it seems to me like they're playing right on the edge of death.
They were, literally, yeah. Your potassium has to stay between a 3.0 and a 5.0. So one of the things that they did was I literally had to eat 10 bananas a day. They called it banana soup. And, you know, my family thought I just really, really loved bananas. But my proctor, you know, would mash it all up, and I always wondered why it was black. You know, I didn't know. And, you know, it's like bananas do turn black once they get some oxygen. But what she was doing was it was black because the adrenal turns black when it hits the oxygen, when it's on a food source. So she was putting the adrenal right into my banana soup in the morning. And, you know, that the banana gave extra potassium to my body. So now I have major health issues with my potassium, where my potassium will just drop into those critical levels, and, you know, my heart will start racing, and then I literally have to take enough potassium every single day that is enough to kill a cow, seriously. And if I don't take that, I'm in a life-threatening situation.
Coming up to the end of this, I guess that's all there is.
I just want to take the time to applaud the bravery and the transparency of these survivors in sharing their heart-wrenching testimonies. Many survivors who leave the Illuminati are hunted and killed to keep their secrets from being revealed or threatened to maintain their silence. Tonight, we pray protection over every victim and survivor of the Luciferian system, and we ask the Lord to help other survivors break their silence and bring their truths from darkness to light.
I hope you guys enjoyed that, your listeners out there. Sarge, or who's still with us? Let me check. Sarge and Colin,
I'm still here.
You guys got any comments of what we just listened to? I know it's kind of... go ahead.
It's a harsh reality. I think everyone that has a heart has to come to grips that that does exist on this planet. You know, I researched this years ago when they had that those Catholic priest scandal. I think it was in Boston. There was a good movie about that, where these the priests had, you know, they was doing all kind of underground stuff, and you know, a lot of kids came out, and they reached out to this journalist that put the story out, and the journalist was harassed, you know, for years and years because he did that.
Right.
So it's a harsh reality, and they put it in a lot of movies. You remember The Shining with Jack Nicholson?
Yeah, go ahead. I don't remember the whole movie or really watch it, but go ahead. I know about it, a little of it. Go ahead, Charles.
Well, there's a part two to it that came out a couple years ago. Dr. Sleep. My wife and I, we like The Shining. I read the books. So we was curious about just, you know, seeing how the little boy grew up and you know, how the story continued. And, man, that Dr. Sleep really, I don't think I blinked maybe 3-4 times during the whole movie, you know, because it was about that adrenochrome and how they seduce children. And, you know, it was, yeah, I don't recommend it to anybody, but, you know, they put it in movies to really just slap us in our face. And we think, oh, it's just a movie, but some of it has facts in it, you know. Get my drift?
Yeah, I'm copying that. I was sending a message off to the chat. Here's what Lady Horse had to say in the chat room. Looking at the chat room. Casual says, if this election is stolen from Trump, then I will never vote again. Feel like a fool for having ever done so, is what Casual said. Comment said, me too. And Hummingbird said, oh, wow, that's poor women that we just listened to. And Lady Horse says, okay, a breakdown of how this works. Trump has every right to go through the procedure of contesting this election. Biden isn't president-elect just because media says so. So it is wrong to call him. Hang on. So it is wrong to call him so. This may go all the way to the Supreme Court. See, so she's so right and correct about this issue. But also another thing is the proceedings that have to go to the Supreme Court put this stuff on hold and scatter, make our minds come to a crossroads saying, well, what's going on? Where do we go? You know, it's keeping us in the mix.
Yeah, but that's part of the legislative, you know, judicial and executive. That's what the founding fathers, you know, put into action. And if you go back and really look at the presidents of, you know, the 1800s, this happened more than a couple times.
Oh, I imagine.
So, imagine back then when they did a duel and stuff. you remember the old cowboy duel? Judicial and executive.
Sarge, hold on a second. I'm trying to check the tuner. Hold on a second.
Okay. Put into action. And if you go back and really
let me see.
The presidents of, you know, the 1800s. This happened more than...
I was just checking to see if there was an echo. All right, I just checked the tuner. We're okay. Someone was saying that we had a mix, and I think we're all clear now. So great. Thanks for listening up. So everything's everything, and I'm glad that I got situated. And Captain Fred has to say... I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No problem.
But I'm just reading some of the chat. Hummingbird put in, that's good she didn't turn into an evil person after all of her torture. You know, she was that last witness that brought up about this. She was fortunate that she was introduced to the Lord, in essence, at 2 years old before all this happened. That, you know, it gave her a little armor, you know, and the other two.
Yeah.
I can just imagine. I've seen some videos of that mental hospital up in Canada that I think it's Oliver Stone's father was the psychiatrist for it. I can't remember. It's one of the famous producers, movie producers. I think it's Stone that their father was big time into MK Ultra. And I saw videos of how they would just torture people. And it's so so wrong of what the reality is that we've been in, and it's so evil and dark. And that's why I like to do a show to emphasize that we need more light, more prayer. It is important. So,
yeah, that's why I said what I said about the Bible. I don't chastise nobody for, you know, Christianity or anything like that. I don't chastise anybody because I understand what it is. It's a book of morality, and it gives people hope. So, you know, I'm a humanitarian at heart. So,
me too. You know, let's say, you know, But I, like I said, I'm not real religious or into the Bible, but I try to go by, you know, the Ten Commandments, you know, and live that, those basic rules. Yeah, there's a little times I'm a sneaker or temptation, etc.
Yeah, but we're not perfect, but we are people of love, and
someone,
you know, we just want respect.
Yeah, hang on a second. Dude, guy's coming in here. If I can find him, and someone's in the chat saying music is still playing loud in the background of right now. I don't know.
I don't hear anything.
Let me bring in Dude Guy, and then I'll check it.
I don't hear anything. Yeah, what chat are you talking about?
I don't know either what's going on, but someone just private messaged me. I'm bringing in Dude Guy that's saying music is still playing really loud in the background.
Maybe they still have their player going, and you know, two players.
I don't know. I don't know, but I can check it real quick. But we've got about 20 minutes, 25 minutes to still go here. And I appreciate you guys for helping me through the night. It was a tough issue trying to wheel in, and I apologize that Paul didn't help me out a little bit better and just get me frustrated. So I'm all mellow. I've said my prayers, and to love somebody, we're all here to love and enjoy ourselves and try to learn. I'd like to welcome Dude Kai to the call. Dude Kai, hello there, sir.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
How you doing, Dude Guy?
Hello, Dude Guy.
Yeah, good to hear you guys.
I'll tell you what, basically, if you just join us, I've been reflecting on that, all the issues that are coming up and the way they keep putting these tentacles around us to take our minds off this election and indictments that need to be processed, that the deep state has got their puppets doing all this crap on the general, you know, on the general public, that it's just, they're just trying to sway away from those indictments that I think is so important. And we've been playing a little bit about the Illuminati earlier and so forth. That's where we're trying at tonight.
Yeah, I heard some of it. I, you know, what can I say? Right now we are in the middle of a fight. I don't think as many people have realized just how deep all this corruption is. If you remember before Trump came to run in the Republican Party, you remember the primaries, most of those Republicans didn't like him. As far as like that were running against him, you know, they call them rhinos, Republicans in name only. They're the corporate Republicans that, you know, the George Bush Republicans. And there's still a good number of those type of people in the Republican Party. You know, it's like 50-50 almost. You're pro-Trump and you're anti-Trump and never Trumpers. The Lincoln Project people, Mitt Romney. And so the people that have burrowed their way into a lot of this state infrastructure, the secretaries of state and the elections managers, the attorneys general, a lot of these people are traditional rhino type of corporate Republicans who take these jobs to pave the way for corporate influence, and then expect, you know, a nice big return at a cushy job later on, or some type of board appointment to some corporation, something like that.
A fave for a fave.
Right. And so they're feathering their nests, you know, and that's more what it's about, and following orders of the people who back their campaigns. And so that's this Brian Raffensperger, who is the Secretary of State of Georgia. That's the kind of guy he is. So he certifies the election. Brian Kemp, who's the governor of Georgia, very similar. I don't think he's quite as bad as Raffensperger, but he isn't a really a pro-Trump guy. He's just an opportunist, you know. And so if the winds were going more towards Trump, he might, you know, do what Trump asks, or he might stick up for Trump. But the winds are still going against him, so he's more about self-preservation, you know. And
But also the judicial, a lot of these judges and lawyers playing the same game.
Of course, that's how you get to this high level in the bureaucracy and in the technocratic establishment, because that's what you're dealing with, is people who get to positions of power, not just because they like power, but because that's how you make money. You sell access. You sell access to your decision.
Probably all Masons, too.
Some of them, I mean, some, like, lawyers don't have to be Masons. Lawyers just go out and you know, they're so experts. They work for those people, but they don't have to be them. They just sell their services and their knowledge and their acumen. And so that's what these, a lot of these lawyers are. And not even all the, you know, the lower level people, not necessarily. Once you get up into the high in the federal government, I would agree with you. A lot of those people are, have some type of secret society connections, and not all of them are bad. I would say probably most of them are, but you do get some who kind of are independent, and they just
on the fence. On the fence. Do
well, they go to Harvard or something, or they go to Yale, and they are very brilliant, and they join all the organizations you're supposed to join to excel, and then they find out more about this stuff. Remember, when people go there, they're 18, 19 years old. You know, they don't know. They might not know everything. And so,
question for you, though. With what's just going on right now, I think last night I had Mechanic and Jacker. We did a two-hour gig at 1 a.m. my time, 4 a.m.
Really?
We were talking about they were talking about the God dog it. I just slipped my mind to say I can't. Damn! I just slipped my mind in regards to they brought up that December 14th is the day that this is the first time, I guess, in history of the voting system. But I guess someone said December 14th is the day that the electric. The electric vote, you know, who are they? The electrical.
This is what I told them on Deacon's show. December 8th is the safe harbor day when you're supposed to have all the votes certified. And then December 14th is when all the slates of electors from all the states have to be selected. Okay. Because after that.
This is the first time this has happened since this. Is that correct? That's what I was asked.
What do you mean, first time what has happened?
That it's set up for December 14th that the electric.
No, that's in the Constitution. That's the way it works all the time.
But last time when Trump got nominated, they knew that night of the election, the last 4 years ago. And
that's because they conceded. If they concede, yeah. You don't have to worry about all this stuff.
I don't see. I'm always learning. But
yeah, you. I looked at last election electoral vote. They had 10 electoral votes that defected against what the vote was.
And you do get that from time to time, where the electors don't cast a vote or they vote for someone else. Sometimes it's not always the other person. Sometimes they vote for a third party or whatever, you know, that happens. It's not unique to that election.
That some of the electoral votes are not in the mix.
They're supposed to cast how they pledge, but when there's some type of controversy, sometimes they don't. Remember, even after Hillary Clinton conceded last time, there was this whole thing about trying to persuade the electors not to vote for Trump. Okay?
Yeah.
Yep. There was a huge thing about that. They kept trying successive ways so that he couldn't be inaugurated. They tried to invalidate the election, but they didn't try.
And I remember, not to cut you off, but you can remember Pelosi at that time really saying we're going to make him a one-term president. You know, that was her focus instead of unity like they're doing right now.
Well, they tried to, you know, impeach it. I mean, obviously they put it through all types of ridiculous things. The Mueller investigation, which was totally manufactured. There wasn't any evidence. People will talk about, where's your evidence for election fraud? They didn't have any evidence for any of this Mueller probe. None. It was zero evidence. The evidence they claim they have, they manufactured. The Steele report, the Steele dossier, was paid for by the Clinton lawyers, you know, through their lawyers, Perkins Coie, paid Steele to fabricate this this quote-unquote dossier, which was just a bunch of their intelligence contacts that they had that just rehashed their speculations. They didn't have any evidence, any real testimony. It was just, it was more like humorous speculation, you know. And it was just a whisper campaign. There's the, you can't, it's all hearsay. Hearsay is not evidence.
And you know? In my opinion, exactly. They spent 4 years gaslighting the whole United States public along with Donald Trump.
Well, the problem is people. I mean, it's the same problem we have right now about calling Biden president-elect. People, there's a group of people in this country, mainly on the left, that worship television because mm-hmm. it tells them what mm-hmm. they want to hear. And I would caution people that anytime you find yourself agreeing too much with a powerful individual or institution, you better check yourself. You better check yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, because they are telling you what you want to hear for a reason, not just because they want to, mm-hmm. you know, make you like them. There's a reason that they want to get your guard down. They want to get you to go with the flow, go with the program, and it's going somewhere you probably don't want to end up in, you know, and that is the problem. A lot of these people that inherently trust government are being ripped off by government to the tunes of billions of dollars every year. Okay? Mm-hmm. The same government that is telling you it's going to help you is stealing from you. And it's not any one individual that can change that. Trump can't change that. Any single person. There's a huge unaccountable bureaucracy and technocracy in Washington, D.C., and in your state capitals, that regardless of who you put in power, keeps operating on its own agenda because they have a guaranteed access to our tax money. It just keeps flowing and flowing, and they got plans for it. And what happens is when we send – even if we send someone in that wants to reform things, they can usually only make changes at the margins. It would take a long time. Look, you know, take a long time to drill into this level of corruption. Because first of all, when people get to Washington or get to your state capital, they don't know everything. They got to figure out, well, what is the landscape here? Who's in charge? What are they doing? How are they spending this money? What's really needed? You have to assess all this stuff. This takes time. The federal government is massive. And then people are lying to you. They're hiding things from you. You got pressure to do things right away. You can't say, hey, I got elected. I'm going to study something for a year before I make a decision. People want stuff done now, you know? So the very system does not favor reform. People don't understand, like the general citizenry doesn't understand how anything works, and yet they expect all these results, you know. And trying to even explain the corruption of the voting machines, of the voting system, which we can thank Donald Trump for exposing right now, it takes a lot of courage to expose this when both sides have been protecting this. This isn't, you know, Dominion isn't even the first fake voting machine. You had Diebold that was doing the same thing before this. They've always been trying to engineer our voting systems. And before there was electronic voting systems, there was other ways of cheating things. And that's why you had all these rules where you could only vote in person and you had to sign it and you had to have a witness. And, you know, it's just like, you know, writing a check, you know. I mean, you have to have some type of security on it. And this is what's controlling the power over our lives. To treat it in such a capricious way, say, oh, count all the votes. Who cares where they come from? I mean, only a moron would say that. It's a simplistic meme meant to stop debate, not start it. All these people that worship television, what's drilled into their head through the electronic waves coming out of the television is the most simplistic, jingoistic – repetitive mantras that don't really explain anything. They actually take away the ability to understand things, and all they do is they are calls to action for those in power. You know, count all the votes, count every vote. You know, never mind that they don't understand or they don't seem willing to understand that a lot of these votes have been manufactured. And in this case, it's the Democrats, but in the past, it's the Republicans have done it too. I think purposely the Trump campaign probably warned their side not to manufacture any votes because they had planned on pursuing this, you know, because a lot of these local election area, you know, local state attorney general or local city officials who run elections, they're used to kind of, you know, doing some margin shaving of a couple percent for their side. You know, like, well, we're just going to, you know, put a little English on it and make sure we win, you know. But this year, the Democrats didn't just like add a little bit. I mean, you're talking about a monumental theft.
You know? They were blatant. They were blatant with it.
Well, they were so far behind. I mean, the reality is, and it's becoming more obvious from all types of mathematical analysis, from anecdotal evidence, that Trump won in a total landslide. And the reason that they had to stop the counting in all the swing states was those were the states that they had identified as critical to winning and that they had influence in. They were all Democratic states. They all had local big city machines that had a concentration of votes that could be manipulated. And they had huge voter rolls that had like a bunch of deceased voters that they could have vote. You know, I mean, if you're in some little town or some rural county, you don't have access to all that data and all those records that you can use to fabricate votes now. You know, I mean, yeah. If you go to Philadelphia or Detroit, you got a 50-year history of all these people have voted, and you probably have, you know, thousands of people who are dead who have been voting for years, and you just fabricate their records and have them vote again, you know?
And it's just like they had that Bernie Sanders little interview a couple of days before the election. I think it was Jimmy Fallon interviewing him. And he named damn near five of the states that Trump has the lawsuits with. He pretty much said the playbook. And I said, well, if anybody know about stolen elections, it's Bernie Sanders.
That's right. And the sad thing with him is he just takes it. He didn't fight it. And of course, they never mentioned how Debbie Wasserman Schultz had to resign as a result of the primary in Florida that ruined his campaign and rigged the primary down there for Hillary Clinton. And then they don't talk about even this spring when that in Iowa, when that app for the Democratic primary went crazy and screwed up all the voting. And I think it helped certain candidates and it hurt. It helped Biden. It helped Buttigieg and it hurt. Sanders, you know, and that's when Biden started coming back is because I think he came in second in Iowa and then he went and won South Carolina or something. And that's when he was back. Because remember, he lost the first three or four primaries. He got crushed, you know, because they hadn't rigged him enough, you know.
Why do you think they stopped it at, well, it was about 10 o'clock my time. They just stopped the vote, you know, that was set up by
that does not happen. That you know, you don't on election night, you don't just say, hey, I gotta go to bed. You're supposed to every year they're supposed to be they didn't do that. They told the election the poll watchers that they were closing and told them to go home. And so a lot of them went home. But then after they got them to leave, then they kept some of the workers behind and kept counting. But what they were really doing is they stopped in those areas and they counted how far they were behind. They started doing some math and saying, okay, we got so many outstanding votes we haven't counted yet. We're so far behind. How many votes do we have to manufacture? You know, and that's when they started doing it. They had to make sure that they – now, if they had been better what you're supposed to do when you're cheating is to gradually add in the manufactured votes over your count, so you don't get these straight up things like happened in Michigan and Wisconsin. But they were in such a hurry, because it was getting to be the morning when the new poll watchers were going to come in, that they just had to add it in. And so they added them in, and that line goes straight up. Boom. You know, that's when you saw a video of the I think it's the whoever is running the election, the attorney general or whoever. She in Milwaukee, she just takes this frickin' USB drive. And she's supposed to take the USB drives to the election, to the county election, you know, center, you know, from all the precincts, and turn them in and not stop anywhere, not interact with anyone, you know, because that's when you could have a chance. That's when you could have a chance to change data. What happens is she forgot one of the USB drives. She had three of them, and she told one of her workers to go back and get it, or a sheriff's deputy to go back and get it. And so he had to go back and get it. So the chain of custody is broken, and he brought it, and then she put that in the main counting tabulation machine. And, you know, that's the time when the vote went straight up for Biden. So one of those drives had, like, you know, 50,000, 100,000 votes all for Biden. Boom. Just there.
Here's what somebody from the chat room, Grog, well, but he said, maybe what we have here is government in our anarchy. And he says, posing out as representatives, and media definition antichrists have often been portrayed as dangerous and violent, possibly due to a number of high profile violent actions, including riots, assassinations, insurrections, and terrorism committed by some
aristocrats,
anarchists.
Yeah, anarchists, as well as persistently negative media portrayals. Jerbaugh, oh, he said he's up early. Someone in casual put heard on the radio a while ago that Georgia has been certified Biden. So see how the news comes out. It's wild. It's wild. I'm just going to say.
I seen that yesterday where they certified Biden for Georgia. But what bothers me and what concerns me is how they are used to do all of this crap in covert. Now they're just right out in the open doing that. Tells me that they feel like they have got it locked down. That there's nothing that can be done, regardless of what we think. They're going to do whatever we want. Even if it's illegal, because they know they have blocked off every access we have to change anything.
On that note, is December 14th when the electrical, what are they called?
The Electoral College, meets. All the electors from every state have to be selected by December 14th. That's so they can schedule on January 5th, they go to Washington and cast their votes, and that's when you get president-elect.
So basically the way this system happened, this voting system happened this year, this is where the proceedings are. So we won't actually know, the American people or the world won't know who the president is till January 4th?
Something like that. But I mean, January is when they cast the votes in the Electoral College in Washington. December 14th, if the states don't have any controversy, you will know who the electors are. The only question then is, do they cast their votes for who they have pledged to cast their votes for? So in Georgia, if that holds, then those electors, those 16 electors from Georgia will cast it, will be for Biden. There's a slate of people.
Turn blue, I gotcha.
There's a slate of electors that the Democrats have chosen to represent Georgia, and there's a slate of electors that the Republicans have chosen. So in this case right now,
we can continue tonight, but we got about a minute.
Yeah, anyway, Anything could happen, so we'll see.
On that note, gentlemen, you guys want to say goodnight because I'm going to take us out with something.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Colin. You guys are all invited back tonight. We'll continue this. I want to say thank you, Revolution Raiders staff and hosts out there that were listener supported and listeners out there. God bless you.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you lend a hand. You can sit around and wait for the phone to ring, waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond.
Well, it's all right, even if you say you're wrong. Well, it's all right.
All right, thank you guys. That's the end of it. Much love. We'll see you tonight. Back with After Hours. God bless you all. Love.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.